as I was asked to say a shir to try to understand and learn the sicha from the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zechroin Levracha, as he made a seam in Masechta Shabbos, Parshas Veschanon, I remembered a vart that I once heard in the name of the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya said, Medaf Leben mit der Zeit. You have to live with the times, with the current events. And they asked the Alter Rebbe, what do you mean? He says, whatever happens, whatever you're learning, should be a lesson to what's going on in your life. So as I was preparing the Sicha, I said a shir, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Beis. The Gemara, very famous Gemara, the Gemara says, Tanya Rabbi Shmob, Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Talmide Chachomim, Kozman Shemaskinen, Talmide Chachomim, as they grow older, Datam Es Yashavis Aleyem. They get smarter, Pasha Pshat, in the Gemara, as they get more intelligent. And many Mefarshim ask the question that we don't necessarily always see that. What does the Gemara mean to say? So I saw from the Divrei Yisrael, the Majid Rebbe, he says the Gemara is giving us a lesson. The Gemara's lesson is, how does a person constantly grow in learning? How do you achieve data metaisefes aleihem? So he says that the words of the Gemara teach it to us. The Gemara says, Talmidei. You have to be always a Talmud. You always have to be able to learn. And not only that, if you look at Maskinen, and you look at the people from the previous generations, at the Talmidei Chachamim from the previous generations, and you try to learn what they say, and you try to understand what they taught, then that will help you, that you will grow in your Chachma. And as I learned the Sicha, I certainly felt that learning the words of the Rebbe Zichrono Livracha and seeing the Gevaldige Chochma in those words should be a schus that all of us should be able to grow in our Avodas Hashem and our Limud HaTorah. The theme that the Rebbe begins is on the last halacha mentioned in the last Mishnah in the Masechta. Adaf Kuf Nun Zayin Amar Aleph. The Mishnah tells us, Umaisa b'mei oviv shel Reb Tzadik u'b'mei abishol be'botnes. The Mishnah tells us of an episode that happened in the time of the father Reb Tzadik and abishol be'botnes. I'll just read the words of the Mishnah, and the Gemara right away explains that, and we'll get to the Gemara. Shepaku es amar b'tfiach, that they closed up the window of a house. V'koshru es makida b'gemi, and then there was a overhang in an alleyway in between the two homes. Leidem yesh begigas b'seich tefach, to know if there was a crack the size of a tefach in that overhang, imlav, if not. U'medvreim lomadnu, and from that episode we learned, shepaikikim u'moidim v'koshru b'shabbos. And the Gemara, at the end of the Masechta, explains exactly what happened. The Gemara says there were two homes and there was a mace, a dead corpse, in between those two homes. And we know that if there's a mace, there's always going to be tumas oil. But tumas oil is not only for the area under the roof where you have a mace. Tumas oil will also spread if you have windows that are open to homes that are on the side of that mace with the overhang over it. How do you prevent that from happening? There are two ways. Either close the window, so there's no way for the tumah to penetrate the home, or if there's a crack the size of a tefach in that overhang, so then instead of the tumah remaining under that oiho, it spreads and goes through the crack and escapes, so to speak, through the crack. And even if the windows would be open on the homes on the side, it would be no issue. So the Gemara, in explaining what exactly happened in the Mishnah, tells us, Amri Yehuda Marav, Hilkati Katana, there was a narrow alleyway between two homes, V'gigas Sedukim Nuchas Al Gebeim, and there was a barrel covering this entire alleyway, but it had a crack in it. So there's a person who was laying there and he was about to die, Rahman al-Slan, and they knew if he passes away, we're going to have an issue of Tumas oil, and it may even go into the houses that were on the side of the oil. So the first thing they did was that they closed up the window with a tfiach. A tfiach is an earthenware flask. And like that, the windows were closed up, the tumma cannot get into the houses. Now, says the Mishnah, the kashras makida begemi, they took this earthenware vessel and they took a piece of grass and to pass it through the crack in the barrel, later to determine im yesham begigas peseich tefach, if that crack was a tefach large, im lav. If the crack was a tefach large, so even if the windows are open, I have no problem. If the tefach is wide, if the crack is narrower than a tefach, and you don't want the tumah to enter into the home, you better make sure that those windows are closed. That's the last thing of the Mishnah. And the Gemara, and the Mishnah taught us, umedei medvreyem lomadnu, and from this episode we learned, shepoikikin. The first halacha we learned is that you're allowed to shutter a window. Actually, this Gemara, this issue about how and when you may shutter a window is something that we already learned much earlier in the Masechta on Daf Kuf Chaf Hei. The Gemara on Daf Kuf Chaf Hei teaches us. Gemara teaches us on Daf Kuf Chaf Hei on the base, on the bottom. Amar Rabba Babachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Hakol Moidim, everybody agrees, Shein Oysim Oil Arai B'Tchil B'Yontif. You're not allowed to make binyan as Osir. Even a temporary binyan is Osir on Yontif. Vein Tzar Chloim B'Shabbos, and certainly on Shabbos, it's Osir. Lo Nechlaku, when is there a Machloikis? Shere B'Lozor Oymer, Rabbi Lezer's opinion is Eim and Seifim B'Yontif. They were not allowed to even add to an existing Oil Arai on Yontif. Vein Tzar Chloim B'Shabbos, and so too on Shabbos, is it certainly Osir? The Gemara on Daf Kuf Chavav tries to analyze these opinions, the opinion of Rabbi Lezer and the opinion of the Rabbonim. And what the Gemara says is that if, according to Rabbi Lezer, you could only put a shutter on the window if you have two conditions. That shutter was tied to the window previously, and it's also hanging from the ground. It's not dragging on the floor. So when you put that shutter back on, that's considered that you didn't really do any binyan on Yontif, Shabbos. The Chachamim are more lenient. They may not require either. Interesting, Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, parenthetically. When we speak about the shutter, Rashi says it's talking about a skylight. It's talking about the roof. Tosfos says it's speaking even about a window, which will lead to an incredible machloikus. We're learning now that the Gemara said explicitly that everybody agrees we may not make an oil arai on Shabbos and Yontif. So that means if you wake up Sukkos in the morning, Chas v'Shalom, and you discover that the schach on your sukkah caved in, and you need to put on tzchach again. You want to be able to sit in the sukkah. And it's yontif. Everybody will agree that if the tzchach, to put on tzchach on a sukkah on yontif is asur. The shail is, your tzchach is good, but your wall caved in. According to Rashi, it's an oil arai. It's a sukkah. Sukkah is a dearest arai. It's a wall, not the ceiling. And Rashi would be lenient. According to Tosfos, it would be a problem that we're learning now for making oil arai. Because Tosfos says that the issue of oil arai is not on the roof alone, but it's on the walls, on the window as well. And the halacha therefore would be, if this sukkah has enough walls to be technically a kosher sukkah anyway, no problem. But if you're making it into a, if those walls make it into a kosher sukkah, that's called a mechitza hamateres. A mechitza materes, the halacha is, you're not allowed to make according to Tosfos, that's the way we paskin. Interesting question that the Paiskim discusses. Many shuls have these mechitzas on wheels. On Friday night, when there are not women in shul, they have the whole shul open. And then before Shabbos morning, when there will be women coming to daven, they put out these mechitzas on wheels. Is that mutar or asur on Shabbos? So the Paiskim say a mechitza that's put up between the men and the women, even according to Tosfos, is not considered a mechitza hamateres, and therefore it will be permitted. So the Gemara, time doesn't permit us to go through this whole Gemara Daf Kuf Chavov, very connected to our Gemara here on Daf Kuf Nun Zayin, discusses what is the opinion of the Chachamim, how far they are lenient, discusses the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, and the Gemara says that there's the opinion like of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel was very lenient. And then Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Mesukin, if you have it prepared to be used as a shutter, Apish and a kosher, even if it's not tied, it's fine. And the Gemara says, Omer Rav Yochanan, Halach Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Halach is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Ask the Gemara, does Rav Yochanan indeed paskin that way? We know that Rabbi Yochanan holds that, and the Gemara quotes Mishnayis, that we see that we have a Stam Mishnah that says that you have to have it tied before. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan agrees, we have one Stam Mishnah that indeed points in the direction of Rabbi Elazar, but we have the Stam Mishnah here on Daf Kuf Nun Zayin that points in the direction of the Rabbanan, and we choose this Mishnah. So the Gemara asks, why are we choosing to follow the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Nun Zayin? Says the Gemara, Maisa Rav. The Mishnah that we learned here only tells us a machlokes. But the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Chav Zayin tells us that not only is there an opinion that you're allowed to put on the shutter, that's a Mishnah that we see, as we just read at the beginning of the Shir, Paikikin, that they actually did it. So from here we see that they follow that way, lahalocha lemaisa, and the Miri has a wonderful insight. The Miri says that when do we follow halocha lemaisa? When is the fact that the Mishnah tells us halocha indicative that that is the halocha? When the Mishnah isn't just telling us a theoretical machlokes. When the Mishnah is telling us a maisa rav, that this is what they did, and the Miri says it has to be a maisa rav lekula. Because if it would be a Maisel Rav L'chumra, maybe they were Machmer because they wanted to play it safe. But if you have a Maisel Rav, and it's a Maisel Rav L'kula, it's a Raya that that's the Halacha. So that's what the Gemara means when they said Paikikin. Moidadin is like we just said, that they had a measure if this crack had the shear of a Tefach. So Medida is normally measuring, is normally Asur on Shabbos. The reason Medida is Asur on Shabbos is because it's a Maisa Chol. The Gemara more than once in our Masechta discussed that on Shabbos there's a concept of Uvda D'Chol, something which is a weekday activity. I saw that the Shulchan Aruch Rav adds interesting words. Zilzul L'Shabbos. Doing these type of weekday activity is a Zilzul for Shabbos. And therefore, it's normally Asur. Here, however, where it was Letzorich Mitzvah, our Mishnah Gemara telling us it's Mutter. And the last thing that our Mishnah said was Kosherim. The halacha is that they tied that grass onto that barrel to determine the size of the crack. So the Rebbe Zichrono Livracha says, I understand why the first thing why the Mishnah, in telling us what they did, says Paikikin first. The reason the Mishnah says Paikikin first is for two reasons. First of all, Paikikin, you're dealing with a Issa Daraisa. And since you're dealing with an Issa Daraisa, the Mishnah wants to tell us, here, they did it in a way where it's not Binyan, not even Binyan Midrabanan, and therefore it's Mutter. Furthermore, he explains, on a very practical level, as when we explained the Gemara, the first thing they did when they had that person laying in that alleyway and were concerned that the tumah, if he passes away, will penetrate into the homes, was that they closed up the windows. So it makes sense that the first thing that the Mishnah should say happened was Paikikin, that they closed up the window, because that was the first thing they did. But he asks, they didn't do Medida first, they did Kshira first. Kshira means that they tied that grass there, and after they tied the grass, then they did the measuring to determine the size of the crack. So he says that why does the... So even though we understand the word Paikikin mentioned first, he says we don't understand why it says Maidedin before Kaishrim if Kaishrim took place before the Medida. And he makes the question even stronger. As we said a moment ago, what is the potential Isser by Medida? The potential Isser by Medida is that you'll, as we said, Uvda Dechol, a very amorphous Isser Derabbanan, that you may violate if you measure on Shabbos. On the other hand, Kaishrim, as we've learned in our Masechta, is an Isser Deraisa. It's a potential Isser Deraisa. So he says, I don't understand why is Moedidin mentioned before Kaishrim. It's not something that happened first, and it's certainly not less of an Isser. So if you want to tell me a Chiddush, that they even allowed Kshira L'tzorech Mitzvah, they should have said that we allowed the Kshira, which potentially could come to an Isser D'Raisa, and still it was allowed B'mokim Tzorech Mitzvah, versus the Medida, which is only, at worst, something that could be an Issa D'Rabbanan, could be a Zilzal D'Shabbos. The Rebbe mentions there that we know in Shas that sometimes there, when a Mishnah mentions a Halacha, and the Mishnah mentions two Halachas, the Gemara sometimes asks, well, why did you have to say the second halacha, we could understand it from the first halacha. Why do you have to say the first halacha? We could understand it from the second halacha. And the Gemara many times says, Zuv ein tzarech lo mazu. You're right, it didn't have to be, both did not have to be said. But he explains, here, it doesn't make sense to say Zuv ein tzarech lo mazu. For two reasons. When do we say Zuv ein tzarech lo mazu? We say Zuv ein tzarech lo mazu when the two halachas are connected to each other. And I could have learned one from the other. And now the question is, if I could understand one from the other. The famous example is that the Gemara Masechta Kedushin says, Ha'ish mekadosh boyu b'shlucha. You could be mekadosh a woman, you could marry a woman yourself, or you could appoint a shliach, a messenger, to do it on your behalf. Ask the Gemara, if you could use a shliach, so certainly you could do it yourself. So Gemara says, to tell us a chiddush, mitzvah boy yoisme b'shluchai. So there we could understand, if the halacha is that you could use a shliach to be mekadosh an isha, so I could understand that you yourself certainly could be mekadosh an isha. And now the Mishnah has to understand why were both halachas said. In the case that we are discussing in our Mishnah and Gemara, each one of these halachas are independent. If Paikikin is mutter, that doesn't mean Kshira will be mutter. If Kshira is mutter, it doesn't mean Medida will be mutter. So there, we don't have this concept, well, the order doesn't make a difference. Moreover, there's a fantastic Atzmas Yosef. And this Atzmas Yosef is very important throughout Shas. The Gemara in many places in Shas says, Mishnah Rishayna Loizazim Mekaymai. What does that mean? That Rebbe wrote the Mishnayis, and then he had another version. But the original version, even though it included something that might be difficult to understand, he didn't take it out. Why didn't he take it out? So as I always explain, they learned Torah like it's supposed to be. Torah Shabbat Peh is supposed to be learned by heart. They learned Torah Shabbat Peh, and they would review it and memorize it. And now if you're going to tell somebody that you have to take a whole statement out, they won't remember, it'll get very confusing. So they left this original statement, even though it might be troubling. But the Atzmus Yosef says that's only when we have a full sentence, a full phrase. So we leave it. Here we're not talking about phrases. Here we're talking about words. So the words are important to be in the correct order. And therefore, he says, my question very much comes back. The order that the Mishnah quotes is not the order of what happened. And the Chiddush LaHalacha of mentioning Medida before Kshira is also something that doesn't make any sense. Because Kshira, that Kshira should be Mutter, which Kshira could be potentially an Issa Deraisa, is a bigger Chiddush than saying the Medida is Mutter. So the Rebbe connects this last Mishnah of Shas, of Sechta Shabbos, back 157 blot to the first Mishnah in the Masechta. And actually, he suggests in the Pinuchim on the bottom, in different Sichas, that that's the right way to go. He says, there's a famous Gemara. The Gemara says, Kol Parsha Shoysa Chaviva al David, a Gemara Masechta Brachos Daf Yud, any parsha that David HaMelech loved, he said the same pasuk at the beginning and the same pasuk at the end. And Ashrei is the example. But ask the Gemara Tosfos, that's the only parak that you find that way. So he says it doesn't have to be the word Ashrei. Whenever you connect the beginning and the end, that shows a chavivus. That shows that this is great. So he says, if by Yisim, we connect the beginning of the Masechta and the end of the Masechta, that is Chaviv. That shows what a wonderful experience it was to learn this Masechta. He even says there that what it, we know every Masechta in Shas is called a Masechta. In English, it's called a tractate. What does the word Masechta mean? So he says, apparently Masechta, we had this concept as well here in this Masechta, Masechta Shabbos, was that when they used to weave, one of the tools that they used was something called a masechta. And the way it worked was that they would throw it with the yarn away from them and then pull it back and forth. He says that's what a masechta means. A masechta is one connection of Torah, and the beginning and the end are really all connected. So he says, I want to connect Masechta Shabbos, the beginning and the end, and with an answer, with doing so, I will also answer the question that we just discussed. But when I was thinking and trying to understand this Sicha, I also thought to myself, there's another question that I've always had, and maybe with what the Rebbe taught us in the Sicha, that question will be answered as well. The last Gemara of the Masechta says, Ula iklal bei Reish Galusa. Ula came to the home of Reish Galusa. Chazir l'Rab Barav Huna. He met Rabbi Barav Huna. The Yosef Avna Demaya. He was sitting in a tub of water on Shabbos. V'kamashachlei. And he was measuring how much water is there in this tub. Amalei. So Ula said to him, Eimed Amar Rabbanon. Yes, we just discussed that you're allowed to measure on Shabbos. But we said that the only time you're allowed to measure on Shabbos is a medida de mitzvah, the lav mitzvah, but here it's not a mitzvah. Mi Omar, are we allowed to do such a medida on Shabbos? Amalei, so he responded, the reason I'm allowed to do so is m'sasak ba'almano. I'm not really doing it for any purpose. It doesn't make a difference how much water it is in the bathtub. I'm just doing it to occupy myself. So I thought to myself, yes, we've learned in this Masechta that Misasik on Shabbos is potter, it's not considered you did a malacha. But is that the halacha that we want to finish Masechta Shabbos? We learned 157 blat on Masechta Shabbos. Is that the halacha we need to finish the Masechta with? And what does, how do we understand that this is what is the last Gemara? So we go back to the first Mishnah of the Masechta. When we speak about the first Mishnah of the Masechta, Masechta Shabbos, we know, begins with Yetzias HaShabbos. Masechta Shabbos begins with teaching us the halacha of carrying on Shabbos. and we understood why is carrying on Shabbos usur. So the simple pshat, it's not really the shiur today, is because it's a melacha geruah. Carrying is a difficult melacha to understand. You could carry a heavy bookcase in your home a whole day on Shabbos, and technically you didn't do anything wrong. If you carry a small pin out from your house to the front, outside of your house, Rishus HaYochet, Rishus HaRabim, you're chayv skil if you did it b'mezid. Difficult to understand. So Chazal decided to start the Meshechta with Yetzias HaShabbos. There are other reasons as well. And the first Mishnah of the Masechta teaches us that to be over the Isser of Haitzah, you have to do, as we just described, an Akira and an Hanocha. What does that mean? You have to pick up an item, an Akira, pick it up in one Rishus, and then deposit it in another Rishus. And if you did an Akira without a Hanocha, or you did a Hanocha without an Akira, it's not Asum B'Daraisa. It's only Asum B'Drabonin. The Melacha is only if you did both an Akira and Hanocha, and all of those examples, that concept is really the basis for all of the examples that are discussed in the first Mishnah of our Masechta. So the question is, we know very often do we learn in Shas a sugya called Chotzi Shir. You're not allowed to eat something not kosher. You're not allowed to eat a kazayis or machalas asuris. Let's say you eat less than a kazayis. You ate a half a kazayis. The halacha is, Chatzi shir is osur midaraisa. Chatzi shir is an issa daraisa. You're not allowed to eat less than a kazayis. Just you don't get malka, you don't get a punishment for eating less than a shir. But an aveira daraisa, you were over. So why is the halacha that if somebody carried just doing an akira or just doing an anocha, you're not chayiv midaraisa? Why isn't it chatzi shir? And even if we'll say that there wouldn't be an oynish, because to be chayiv, you have to have the whole shir, but at least there should be an issa deraisa. But we know, and that's the halach in the Shulchan Aruch, and that's in Simen Shin Mem Zayin, Sif Aleph, and anybody who learned our Masechta knows this very clearly, that an akira without an anocha, an anocha without an akira, is not considered a chatzi shir. It's considered that you didn't do a melacha midaraisa. It's at worst a melacha midrabanan. So the Rebbe makes a very important observation. He says, when we ever find the concept of chatzi shir is a din in the shir. As I just explained, to be chayiv, we learned so many dafim in our masechta of different objects and items. How much do you have to carry of those objects to be chayiv for carrying midaraisa? So the Gemara typically says the shear by many objects is a groigris, the size of a dried fig. Other places, there are different shurim. So yes, if you'll carry out less than that amount, it will not be considered that you carried a shear. You carried a chatzi shear. Because what was missing there? It wasn't an issue that you didn't do the melacha properly. You did the melacha properly. You did an akira. You did an hanocha. It wasn't lacking in the tsuras hamalacha. It wasn't lacking that the melacha wasn't done. What was missing was you didn't carry out the required amount. But if you didn't do the melacha, the way the Torah tells us that this is the way this melacha is done, and if there's anywhere that we could emphasize this point, I think it could be only in Hilchos Shabbos. Because Hilchos Shabbos, one of the concepts that I think run through the entire Masechta is that not only is something a melacha or not, it's not just carrying is a melacha. It's not just bishul is a melacha. There's a tzura to the melacha. And that's why we know we had numerous times at our Masechta that a melacha shayna tzricha legufa, you did the whole melacha, but it was a melacha shayna tzricha legufa. It was a dovah shayna miskavin, according to Rabbi Shimon. In all those cases, it's not considered you did a melacha. Why? Because you didn't do it what is considered a malacha. If you didn't do an akir and a hanacha, you didn't do a malacha. Because carrying means doing an akir and a hanacha. And if without that, it's not chatzi shir. And if it's not chatzi shir is only a din in the malacha, in the amount. But it's not a din in the way the malacha is done. If the malacha is not done the way Chazal said the malacha is supposed to be done, that's what the Torah meant, then it's not a malacha. What about kshira? So that's by haitzah. Haitzah, the Mishnah is teaching us, if you don't do it with an akir v'anocha, midaraisa, you didn't do a malacha. What about kshira? We know, and we've discussed this many times in our Masechta, that to be chayif for kshira, you have to have a kesher shakayama. What is the definition of a kesher shakayama? The kesher shakayama means that you had a mind that this should be permanent. Now, yes, there's a machlokes rishonim. How do we define permanent? Is it 24 hours? Is it 7 days? Is it less? Is it more? Of course, this is a very important question, because if you have a shul that they davening mincha Shabbos afternoon, and somebody does galila on the Sefer Torah, and he's going to tie a knot, and then that knot is not going to be opened till they read from the Sefer Torah the next time, which will be Monday morning. So that may be a kesher shakayama. It's more than 24 hours. But what made it into a kesher shakayama? A very interesting factor. Kshira is a malacha that is in your mind. Your mind is what defines the malacha. And if you have to have a mind to make a kesher shakayama, and if you didn't make a kesher shakayama, then it's not kshira. It's not that you did a chatzi malacha. So again, let's think about it. Let's say we'll be most machmer, and we'll say that the definition of a kesher shakayama is like the Rishonim who say 24 hours. And you decide that the knot that you're making is not going to be there for 24 hours, it's going to be a knot for 12 hours. So we're going to say chatzi shir. If 24 hours is the shir, so say 12 hours is a chatzi shir. So of course not. Because if it's not a kesher shakayama, if it's not meant to be there permanently, then it's not kshira. Because what is the definition of kshira? The definition of kshira is taking two separate objects and putting them together permanently. If you're missing those factors, then it's not considered a kesher. It's not considered a kesher, and you didn't do the malacha at all. So just like an actual, so now we take this a step further. By akira and hanocha. Truthfully, haitzah with an akira without a hanocha, or a hanocha without an akira, is not the tzuras malacha at all. But if it's not the tzuras malacha at all, but we know that the Shulchan Aruch says, and we learned it in our Gemara, we learned it in the first mission of the Masechta, then an akira without an hanocha, or a hanocha without an akira, is awesome at the Rabbanon. But why is it awesome at the Rabbanon? If the way we're explaining, it's not a malacha at all. The answer is, and Tosfos really says this explicitly on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, because Tosfos says we could have found many more examples to offer in our first Mishnah when we speak about somebody doing an akira without an hanocha without an akira. Why did the Mishnah limit the examples? So Tosfos says we're much more concerned about an akira than an hanocha. Why are we more concerned about an akira than an hanocha? Because an akira, if somebody starts, inadvertently he may finish. He does the akira. He didn't have intention to do an hanocha, but then he ends up doing hanocha. So then he ended up doing a full-fledged malacha. So Chazal said, don't do so. You know why don't do so? Because if you do so, you may come to do a malacha deraisa. And in fact, so you'll ask, so why is that a hanocha alone? If somebody did a hanocha alone, why is it asum adrabanan? If somebody else did the akira and I do the hanocha, So I can never come to Malacha Daraisa. So why should it be Asr? The answer, as is alluded to in the word of Taisus, is because sometimes if I'll do a Hanocha alone, and I think I could do a Hanocha alone, I'll think that I could do a Hanocha with an Akira preceding with. And that's why Chazal saw the need, that even though an Akira without a Hanocha, and certainly a Hanocha without an Akira, should be Asr, because you could come to Malacha Daraisa. However, going back to Kshira, when it's a Kesher She'en Shel Kayama, a Kshira that's not a Kesher Shel Kayama is not a Kshira at all. And that's why, even though we just explained, by Hotzah, if you do an Akira without the Hanocha, you'll do a Hanocha without the Akira, you'll be Asur Mid Rabbanan. Kshira, if you'll do it, not to be a Kesher Shel Kayama, it's not a Malacha at all. You can't come to a Daraisa then. There's no opportunity to come to a Raisa. And what I think the Rebbe means to say, very important point. The Rebbe is trying to say there are two types of Rabbonans. There are the Rabbonans that Chazal made because they were concerned that you could come to be over Daraisa. An Akira without a Akira, without a Hanocha, you could come to a Daraisa. Then there are Malachas that Chazal said, we decided this is a Darabonan. And it should be Asr. Not because it necessarily could bring to a Daraisa, because Chazal felt that it should be Asr. Kshira, where you have a Keshesh Enesh Kayama, Chazal said, there's nothing to be worried about. It can never come to a Daraisa, and we don't think it should be Asr. And therefore, if it's not a Keshesh Kayama, there's no problem. I do have to say that there is an exception to this. There's a very famous tshuva in the Avnei Nezer, in Or Chaim Siman Kuf Pei Gimel. The Avnei Nezer discusses the following situation. He says, we have to put on tefillin every day. And you come to shul, and you don't have your tefillin. So you borrow tefillin from someone else. I'm not going to go into the shailah now, if you could borrow someone else's tefillin without their permission. We'll put that shaila for a different time. But you have the person there, you go over to your friend, and you say, I don't have my tefillin with me, could I please use your tefillin? Absolutely. He gives you his tefillin, and he has a larger head than you, he has a smaller head than you. So what do? You have to know how to do it. You go, and you untie the knot to make it fit. And then, as soon as you're going to finish davening, you're going to want to return it as you received it. That's what the halacha requires you to do. You'll go and make it, and you'll make it back to the original size. So the kesher that you used for the tefillin for that time that you davened in it was a kesher shel kayama. How long did davening take you? It took you an hour? That's not a kesher shel kayama. And the Torah says, k'shartem loisal yadecha, we say it every day in Krishma. So why is that considered that you properly fulfilled the mitzvah tefillin if the knot on the tefillin wasn't a kesher shel kayama? And Avnei Nezer in that tshuva is very concerned because he uses our gemara that we've been learning how kesher shel kayama is so important to be considered a kshira. Most paiskim aren't concerned for Avnei Nezer because they teach us a new chiddush. They tell us that even if the kesher was not meant to be permanent, but it was meant l'shem mitzvah, that gives it a chshivas. And even when you don't want to use it on a permanent basis, it means that it's still considered that you did, that it's a full-fledged kshira. Actually, this concept is a concept that I saw in the following situation. We know that the minig, the custom, almost around and almost in all circles in Klal Yisrael, is that a kala's family, buys the chassan a talis and tzitzis as they get married, and many buy two, one for during the week and one for Shabbos. Just parenthetically, the minig comes because there are 32 strands on a talis, 8 times 4. 8 times 4 is gematria lev, heart. And the kala is sending a message to the chassan, your heart, your lev, should be devoted to me. So the following situation happened. This is a real story. A chassan was busy, he was a chassan getting married, and his kala, his in-laws, sent him a talis with tzitzis, and he should put on the tzitzis himself. He gets up Shabbos morning of the Sheva Brachas, Shabbos Sheva Brachas, and he realizes that he never put on the talis. He never put on the tzitzis. And now he's in big trouble. He's going to come to shul, and his father-in-law bought him this beautiful talis. In certain communities, they wear silver atara, beautiful talis, and he's coming to shul. He doesn't have his talis because he forgot to put on the tzitzis. But the chassan is Baruch Hashem a Talmud Chacham. And the chassan thinks to himself that, you know what I'll do? I'll tie the tzitzis Shabbos morning. I am not allowed to do kshir on Shabbos. But I'll have in mind that Matzah is Shabbos, 12 hours later, whatever amount of hours later, certainly less than 24, I'll immediately untie those tzitzis. And it won't be a kesher shel kayama, and I won't be embarrassed. Is he allowed to do so? The answer is, of course, he may not do so. Why not? Because just like I said, that the tefillin, even if the kesher was meant to be there for a short amount of time, the mitzvah gives the kesher a chshivas. The same thing, the fact that you tie those tzitzis on your bagid, on your talis, gives it a chshivas. And even if they're not meant to be there for that amount of time, it's still considered a kesher, and therefore this approach would not work. But getting back to what we saw, kshira is a malacha that if you didn't do a kesher shel kayama, it's not considered that you did a kesher, because if it's not shel kayama, it doesn't mean you took two different things and put them together, and therefore the halacha is that it's not aser, even midrabbanan, if you make a kesher she'ena shel kayama. Whereas other places where you can come to an issa deraisa, Chazal said, even though it's not a malacha deraisa, but if it could come to a malacha deraisa, we don't want you to do so. Where do we see one more place in our Masechta that what you had in mind is makes it to be a malacha or not? Let's say someone has an animal in their home, and he walks in or out, and he closes and opens the door. Is it considered seida? So most poskim of the opinion, rishonim and achronim, that's not considered seida. I did seida. The animal can't get out when I close the door. The answer is, if I didn't mean to do so, it's not the malacha at all. So now, the Rebbe brings it all together. The Masechta began with Yetzias HaShabbos, Akir and Ahanocha. As we, I think, successfully explained, an akira without a hanocha without an akira is not considered a malacha. But still, it's a malacha deraisa. It's a malacha derabbanan, because you could come to a malacha deraisa. Kshira, if you did a kesher she'ena shel kayama, not only is it not a malacha deraisa, but it's not even a malacha derabbanan. So how does our Mishnah, the last Mishnah of the Masechta, who wants to address that question and ask, why is a kesher she'ena shel kayama not a problem? And as for the reason we just explained, and why is Yetzias HaShabbos and Akira without Anocha a problem? How do we, because they're so, as we just explained, fundamentally different. So you know what the Mishnah says? The Mishnah says, Poikikin, as we explained, closing up the window could be a malacha deraisa, but here it's not a malacha deraisa because we don't pass in like Rebbe Lezer. Maidedin, we're correct in indicating that medida can never be more than the rabbanon, but it could be a derabbanon. But here it's medida shel mitzvah, it's mutter. The kshira that was done when they tied that grass into the crack of the barrel wasn't the kshira. It wasn't kesher shel kayama. It's not a deraisa, not a derabbanon. It's nothing. So that's why the Mishnah, who goes in order, what's the biggest chiddush and what's the smallest chiddush, mentions kshira. Even though the kshira took place before the medida, but the kshira that it's mutter, given that it wasn't a kesher shel kayama, and a kesher that's not shel kayama is not a problem at all in Hilchos Shabbos. So that's why, since it's the smallest chiddush, it's mentioned last. So says the Gemara, as a continuation, where else do we see this concept This is my word, but I think that's what the Rebbe meant to say. Where else do we see this concept that if you did a malacha, that there's absolutely no connection to the way the malacha is meant to be done? It's not considered a malacha at all. We had it in the Masechta. When you do Masasik. So the Gemara is teaching us, just like a Kesher She'enish al-Kayama is nothing, it's not a malacha deraisa, not a malacha derabbanon. So said Rabbi Baruch Huna, Masasik ba'alma. I'm a Masasik. And a Masasik is not a malacha at all. Since it's not a malacha at all, that's why I could perfectly do it on Shabbos without any concern. And that's why these two Gemaras are so perfectly connected. And that's how the beginning of the Masechta, that also teaches us about a malacha, what is a malacha, what isn't a malacha, why would something be asur midaraisa, why would something be asur midrabbanan, and then the Gemara concludes, why would something not be asur at all, because it's not a malacha at all. In conclusion, there's a beautiful vart from the Baal Shem. Why did he start thinking about how much water there's in the bathtub on Shabbos? That's what he has to do. The answer the Baal Shem gave is that sometimes a person gets so connected to Ruchnius, to Torah, he loses connection to this world. So he has to come back down to this world. So he looks at what's around him, and he takes the mundane Gashmius in the world and also uses it for Ruchnius. Rabbi Rav Huna said that I'm in the bathtub, but I want to still, and I'm thinking, if I start thinking about Hashem, I will not have any connection to this world. I need to remain connected to this world to do everything and to use everything in the world for Avodas Hashem.